This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:06 in the evening. You're with Lynn and Kelvin, and first up this hour on Pop It Pop It International, we're going to be talking about a growing feminist movement in South Korea called 4B. And why 4? Well, it kind of encompasses this idea of four no's, four no-go areas. No dating, no sex, no marriage, no children. And this story comes from the AFP. It said that there's a growing number of South Korean women that are working together to reject traditional expectations of the country's male-dominated society. But this isn't also the first time that this movement has been reported on. If anything, though, it looks like it's kind of gaining in popularity.
Yeah, so a decade ago, almost 47% of single and never married Korean women said that they thought marriage was necessary. Last year, that fell to 22.4%, while the number of couples getting hitched slumped to just 257,000, about, down from the over 430,000 in 1996. There are, you know, quite a few factors that I think is fueling this movement in the country. Wives are expected to work, to raise children, and care for aging in-laws with very little help from either the community or the government. And wives also unfortunately spend almost four times longer on domestic chores.
So as always for Pop It Pop It, we wanted to hear what people have to say about this. So our intrepid intern Melina set out today to collect some thoughts. Here is what some folks had to say about rejecting dating, sex, marriage and child rearing.
It sounds a bit extreme to me, but I actually don't have any information on the movement itself, so I can't really comment.
For me, it's wrong, because that's against the law of nature, I guess. So, and it dissolves the practice of our old ancestors until present, where without sex, without marriage, without children, so who's going to continue the future?
Well, I don't think they have much substance when it comes to all these things, because it's no dating, no sex, no marriage, and no child rearing. I feel like the movement does not really stand for much. Yeah.
Well, I think the 4B movement is more of to do with a counterculture that's been going on in South Korea. Because as far as I know, in South Korea, they have a very patriarchal society with values that are very anti-women. So what's happening here is counterculture thing that's been going on. And that's what I think of it.
I think I believe in personal choice. So I'm uncomfortable that the movement is persuading women to do something. But I think if women choose to not date, not have sex, not get married, and say no to having children, that is fine. But I think everyone has the right to choose. It shouldn't be forced on them.
And here they talk about whether or not they would participate in the 4B movement.
Yes, for sure. Again, personal choice. So for myself, I think the no sex, no marriage, no dating, that's a bit tough. The no kids, maybe. I'm just fresh out of listening to Jane Goodall talk about voluntary population optimization. So we are definitely overpopulated. So maybe, yes, no to the child rearing.
I think it depends on your circumstance. And I think everyone should have a choice in whether they want any of these things. So I think it's an individual's choice.
No, because it is against the law for me.
Not really, because I don't think it fits the core of what feminism is. It's pretty much they are picking and choosing what they find works for them and what doesn't work for them. So I don't think it's something that I would join, because it's not what feminism stands for.
Well, for me, I don't really consider it myself, because I don't think that is a viable thing to do on a big scale, on a societal scale.
And finally, here is what our little cohort thought about whether this movement could actually take root in Malaysia.
I don't know. Maybe some people might believe in it and would like to start such a movement. And if that's what they want, by all means, I think go for it, you know, each to their own.
No, I don't think so. It will start in Malaysia, because in Malaysia, we are diversified with many cultures, many religions, many practices. So I don't think it's one of the practices that they would want to happen in Malaysia, as it will become a chaotic situation where people will just, you know, like kill each other, I guess.
No, I don't think. I think we are quite pro-family, and I think that is beautiful. I think in terms of family planning, maybe you can see more of that happening. I feel it's more of a cost concern instead of feminist movement, to be honest.
I don't think that it would be. It would start in Malaysia because even though Malaysia is largely conservative and more or less traditionalist, we are not that much of a patriarchal whereby we don't really have such a negative treatment of women as they did in Korea.
I think that a lot of interesting observations and like a nice sampling of different perspectives. Although that point about how this is quite a South Korean and in some ways Japanese movement is quite interesting because this isn't the only thing that's happening within the context of women kind of pushing back against societal expectations in South Korea. For example, what is it? I think Free Yourself from the Corset, Escape the Corset. I think something along those lines is the name of another movement in South Korea where women are just rejecting beauty standards. And this is coming from a country where plastic surgery is incredibly common and where there is a very specific beauty ideal that is being pushed forward. So I think this is sort of part of... just part of women looking around at a society that is ostensibly very modern and very wealthy and moving forward and progressive in the sense of the economy and in the sense of technology, but not necessarily in the way that women are viewed. And I agree also that here in Malaysia, it's not exactly the same, partly because we are not monocultural.
Yeah.
So there are so many different understandings of what marriage looks like, there are so many different understandings of what parenting and beauty standards and all these other things that inform the pressures that those women face. It's slightly different here. I'm not saying that we are living in some sort of feminist utopia, but it is not South Korea.
Yeah, I think I could safely agree with that. And, you know, it's also perhaps here the concern might be more economical. You know, I think recently there was a report that said that the cost to raise a child almost to the point of adulthood, it now almost breaches about 300,000 ringgit in just an average number. And that can be quite expensive. You know, if maybe you can choose to have less kids, but, you know, even in plenty of circumstances, you know, you do want to consider the fact that you might want to give your child the best quality of life they could have. And that's why you may not just want to be part of that discussion anymore. Though in Korea, the case might be quite specific to the fact that there's just way too much responsibility dumped on the women, right? You end up doing more house chores, you end up having to not only hold a job, but also take care of the family and everything else. And you know, they are also currently going through their own Me Too and feminist movements in their recent years, especially when they're trying to deal with some of the more toxic aspects of masculinity there.
Yeah, and I think as far as this being a movement goes, I also agree with our guests earlier, our sampling earlier, who basically said that, you know, it's not necessarily something that they would participate in personally, but it's about choice. Mm-hmm. So if you are choosing to opt out of a system that you feel is broken for you, then more power to you. I do also think that in the same way that having children or the inability to have children can sometimes be a very painful thing for many people. You know, lots of people for various reasons can't have kids when they want to have kids, you know. So, and the fact that we live in this society, in this culture where it's such a common question, I think that can be quite hurtful. And similarly, I think you don't want the reverse to be true where your movement ends up imposing this, you have a kid, gross, you know, value on others. So it's about... like what we heard earlier, I think it's about having some measure of respect for whatever the choices are that we choose to make. But we are going to kind of bring it home a little bit after this and speak with Jamila Samian, who is a parenting author and speaker. In the meantime, let us know. We're talking about a growing movement from South Korea, 4B, and that's four no's, no dating, no sex, no marriage, no children. What do you make of it? Do you think that this is, would you do 2B, for example, or, you know, would you just do 1B? What parts of it do you think that you might take on in your own life? Let us know. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, on the line with us is parenting author and speaker Jamila Samian. Jamila, thank you so much for joining us on the show. Okay, so what were your first impressions of the 4B or hashtag no marriage movement?
My first impression is that it shows how frustrated and how exasperated the women are, in the sense where they have seen quite a lot in their own societies. And I would imagine that one of the driving forces is because they feel that women as a whole are being devalued. They don't feel appreciated for who they are. Times have changed because long ago, most women could expect just to get married, have children, and their contribution is such that. And this is not to say not important, it is very important, but increasingly women are finding that they have other legacies that they would want to leave behind. They want to seek other forms of fulfillment apart from having a family. And that comes with career choices, you know, going to universities, their own colleges, pursuing whatever area that they feel they want to contribute towards. And that enhances their meaning in life. But in societies like Japan and South Korea, unfortunately, these are very male-dominated societies. They give preference of men over women to such an extent where it doesn't matter what kind of educational background you come from, whether you're working or not, whether you have a career or not. Once you're married, once you have children, you're supposed to dedicate much of your time towards the family as well as the in-laws now that you're married. And typically, in Japanese families, I know that the men usually spend long hours at work. They come back very late from work and their presence is not really felt. So for the women who have a career apart from a family, this is extremely hard, whereby the father absence is very much felt. And we all know how important it is for the father to be there. So if you have got to work, you have got to be there for the family, and with hardly any kind of assistance from the important figure of father, of a husband. So what is there for you to actually start a family?
And looking a little bit closer at some of the sentiments coming out of South Korea, one 4B member was quoted as saying that there are more disadvantages to marriage than there are advantages. Would you agree with the statement?
Well, it really depends on the person. I would say for the person and for society as a whole, yes, I do tend to agree, because when you get married, you have to grow up in certain ways that is not possible if you were to remain single. Because, you know, you have to learn to coexist with the person that you love. You have to give and take. You have to deal with conflict, which certainly will happen no matter how sweet the engagement period was. So, yeah, it's totally different from having to get along with your peers or with your colleagues. So marriage is quite a different ballgame altogether. And apart from that, having children also forces you to grow in a unique way that is not possible if you do not have children.
Right. And would you say that this is also about women wanting to pursue growth in different ways that exist outside the kind of growth that you get from marriage and family?
I wouldn't say it's wrong, because at every day people make their own choices and everybody has that unique position, and you know, you need to respect people's choices and positions. And they have their own reasons, whether they want to get married, whether they want to stay single. But if we were to take humanity as a whole, you know, Malaysians as a whole, for instance, if all women, worst case scenario, most women or all women refuse to get married, refuse to have children, then you are very likely to face a very critical situation, which is being faced by South Korea and Japan, where the birth rates are critically very low. And you have a lot of places now in Japan where it's just deserted, you know, old people dying by themselves. Of course, you start asking yourself, who am I then? Am I just living to take care of the old folks and this and that? But I think that, you know, that's one of the things that we have to consider as a country, as a nation.
Have you seen Malaysian views on marriage and relationships change?
If I'm not mistaken, the birth rates of certain races are falling, but not all of the races. I do not have the statistics right now, but I am under the impression that our birth rates are also falling, actually, in general, because of living conditions, rising costs. And also, I think those people who do get married, who do have children, they want really to focus on whatever few children that they have. It's more like quality over quantity. In a way, it depends on which family you come from. To be honest, I do believe that our values are still quite robust, relatively speaking. It's quite common to see people getting married, and even though there are still a lot of stresses and pressures for the family unit, people do still believe in getting married, settling down, having children. So, yeah, we are we're quite far from there. If you're not careful, we could go down the same route as Japan and South Korea. But yeah, we are still quite okay, I would say.
And what do you see as possible repercussions, I suppose, to women rejecting the traditional expectations of society?
I feel that we should take lessons. When something like this is happening elsewhere, it doesn't mean that it's not possible for it to happen here in Malaysia. I do know that although lots of women still do believe in getting married and settling down, I also know that there are women out there who get tired of having a husband and children, because there are cases where they do everything, basically. You know, they provide the finances, they have to pay everything. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know whether it's fortunately or unfortunately, in such cases, actually, the women decide to opt out. You know, they decide to just leave the husband and run their own lives with their children. And it is also possible that children coming from such families, broken families, they would decide not to start their own families. So, yeah, I mean, you know, when you talk about culture and values, they take time to take root. And the environment in which we live in actually have a strong influence. What you see, I mean, the sufferings, or whether the pleasures or the rewards, or whether whatever consequences and, you know, whatever we observe happening to ourselves, happening to our parents, I'm sure they will have a strong bearing on the decisions that our future generation will have. Whether they will still go for the family institution or whether they will just choose to live on their own.
Right now, these feminist movements are sometimes viewed as extreme and in the minority. How do you think society will respond should these movements gain momentum and start to become more mainstream?
Rather than saying you are doing the wrong thing or you are doing the right thing, again and again, we really need to see why they are doing that. There are reasons for doing that. And like I said in the beginning, it's because they are just so frustrated with the current circumstances. They don't feel like they are being treated as they deserve. And this is such a deep feeling that they decided to do something about it. Perhaps it's a wake-up call for the society in this country. But we don't want to go there, to be honest. It's not healthy at all, I would say, in general. Because, I mean, imagine a world where there are only women, or imagine a world where there are only men. You know, we complement one another as men and women. And as painful as family life can be, you know, you grow a lot personally when you actually live in a family. It's just that the parameters, you know, how the cultures view marriage, how our culture treat women, married women, you know, that definitely, you know, it needs to change. If you live in South Korea or Japan, perhaps I myself would think many, many times before I actually get married. So rather than pointing a finger at them, I think we really have to understand where their perspective is coming from and to take lessons from whatever decisions that they are making.
So we have seen governments, for instance, in South Korea itself, in Singapore, step in to try and encourage people to start families through various incentives. Do you think that this is a good idea? Should the government be involved, or is this, at the end of the day, a private matter?
I would say it's a positive step if a government tries to encourage young people to get married, but I'm not sure whether it's really working. So it could be a matter of the values of the society where we are living. Is it shifting? Are we becoming more individualistic? You know, because when you look at family values, it does tend to veer towards collectivism. But I think the best society is where things are really balanced, well balanced. You know, you don't want to lean so much on the family values that you forget the individuals. Who are the foundation for the family system itself? When you do that, then you are going to fall into this trap of people not wanting to get married. No, because every individual has need that sense of fulfillment. And when that sense of fulfillment is being denied, they would go to extremes like what these women are doing. So yes, on the one hand, it's a positive step when a government introduces maybe schemes, you know, some kind of incentives for young people to get married and settle down. But the success of such incentives would depend on how much they are able to meet the needs of these individuals. Because it can't run just like that. Now, no matter how good it is on the outside, it has got to go along with other positive values so that the young people do see real meaning in these incentives.
Jamila, thank you so much for weighing in. That was parenting author Jamila Samian with her thoughts on the 4B movement in South Korea, where women are rejecting dating, sex, marriage and having kids. So what do you think of the movement? And is it something that you could see yourself doing perhaps? Let us know. You can call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.